All right, welcome to the Rod of Iron Podcast, Fundamental Baptist, breaking down discussions, dogma, and daily events. I'm your host, Pastor Bruce Mejia here at First Works Baptist Church here in beautiful Southern California. And I'm joined by the fundamentalist, Brother Hike and Brother Adam. And of course, we have Brother Ulysses here on the board. Folks, it's been a while. It's been a long time since we have done this podcast. Got the channel shut down and got banned from YouTube, but whatever. And so I haven't really had the motivation. That's a bad excuse to make another podcast because I'm just like, where am I going to put it? But we're just going to put this on the website and on the channel that I currently have until it gets nuked. But, I'm happy to be back and got the guys back again too. What's up, guys?
Not much. What's up with you, Adam?
Not much.
Yeah, you guys are really thrilled. How are you doing, Ulysses? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's good to be back, and we have a couple of topics that we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to talk about savants and a couple of savants and what it means to be a savant, and even, what did you say, a dumb savant?
Idiot savant. That works too,
though. Oh, yeah, I guess so. And then we might get into some other current hot topics in society today that I think Christians should know about. And so we're looking forward to a great episode. Gentlemen, are we ready?
We're ready.
I'm ready.
Dun 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 dun. So he finally finished chapter 1 of John 1. John chapter 1. And so that's pretty neat. I like that. You know, just to get to go over the Bible with my son. And he doesn't sight read, because actually sight reading is not really good.
What does that mean?
It's like, you know, you just read a word because you recognize it, not because you're phonetically sounding it out.
Oh. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, you just recognize the word. But he knows how to, he's learned how to read phonetically. But sometimes he trusts himself too much.
Isn't that what adults do?
But they shouldn't. I mean, I'm sorry. We do that, but that's not how we should learn how to read.
Oh, okay.
Like, I actually learned that it's not good to learn how to speed read. Because speed reading is like sight reading, where you just kind of trust what you saw. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, have you ever heard of speed reading?
Yeah, but don't you also want to process what you've read? Like, think about it,
especially when you read the Bible? Well, they put it forth as if... speed reading is superior to just any other reading because of the fact that you're able to consume more content and retain everything that you've read.
You're not spending time trying to figure out what the word is.
You yeah, sounding the out the words or figuring
not
out the
word,
words.
But the concepts.
Well, if you know what the words are, then
I mean,
you know what the concepts
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
Okay, Adam.
No, it's true. It's true. What?
The fastest reader?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Have you seen that video?
Have you seen the judge get, like, super mad at
yeah,
that?
Yeah, What was that? You did not learn. What did you learn?
What did you just read?
Yeah. But the way he did, he's like... You never see that?
Yeah, I've seen it.
It's funny. But there's people who can read pretty fast as far as, like, they do what's called speed reading, but it's also called block reading. And the way it works is... initially, when you begin to speed read, you need a pen, and you go over, like, every line, and you just have to practice just, like, looking at, or just kind of breezing through the sentence, every line, and not regressing, and just kind of trusting what you've already read. And so what happens is you, because of that exercise, you begin to focus more, so that you're able to retain more. And you get to a point where, like, if this is a page and you're reading a book, they teach you to break it up into four boxes like this. So initially you start off like this, right? Like, if this is just a regular book with no columns, mm-hmm. you just read like that, right? And then you have to kind of test yourself, like, what did you read? But then after a while, once you get faster, when you're reading, like, I don't know, I think it's like 700, 800 words a minute, then you do block reading, which is basically you get a pen and you tap each square like that. And then your eyes literally kind of like they just scan the page and it's able to just retain everything.
But do you read the words or you just like?
You kind of scan over it and you're not necessarily, because when like we think of reading.
Diagonally or whatever?
Yeah, like, you're kind of zigzagging through it. But there's people who do it and they actually retain what's being, what's the, you know, they retain the content. Like they can regurgitate everything that they've read.
That's pretty incredible.
And I used to have a book. Oh man, on speed read, I forgot what it's called, but it was a program that was out there on teaching kids how to speed read, but it's actually very detrimental though, because of the fact that phonetic, you know, reading phonetically, is actually superior because of the fact that a lot of the times children or even adults who learn how to speed read, if you actually look at what they're reading or if you tell them to read out loud, they mispronounce a bunch of words, because they're trusting
what they've
read, and a word looks like another word.
When I used to read the Bible, I don't usually read the Bible out loud, but what I do is like I process the sentence like before it, and then like cache that in my mind. Then I'd like read the next sentence to have the next sentence ready.
Yeah, that's how I kind of read too.
So like I'll read like if like
when you read aloud or when
you
read
aloud, yeah, because I feel like that's the only way to make
wait,
it sound.
Wait, say that again. You do what?
So say I have this, and it's Second Chronicles. Chapter 12.
Into the mic. Into just pull the Bible to you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure, yeah. I'm trying to like show you the gospel.
I know. Are you 100%?
So the verse says, and it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. So as I'm speaking the words, I'm like reading the next sentence.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Do you do that too?
Sometimes I think so. I don't know where you learned that from.
It's just a habit you picked up?
That's
how I read, too.
That's the only way I could make it sound fluid. So there's no pauses between sentences or between verses.
I don't know, dude. I think I do that. I think I read really fast. Like, when I read out loud, I actually read really fast. Like, if I'm preaching, I read really fast. And that's good and that's bad because sometimes I'll mispronounce certain words. Because I think I'm thinking faster than I can, like, say it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. But also if you're like familiar with the passage,
right,
you kind of already know what it's going to say. You know what I mean? Whereas I think the way you're supposed to read the Bible, it is specifically the Bible, but I guess any book, but more specifically the Bible, is you need to take your time reading it. And like every word, you know what I mean? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So you just kind of have
to
like slow down.
Word. Yeah.
You should hang on every word.
I find like, so I don't do this anymore, but for a while I found that like for daily Bible readings, I'd read it out loud because it allowed me to slow down and really like process what it's saying. Versus when you're reading like just in your head or whatever, you can pretty quickly get
tend
through,
to skim, like, especially if you know the chapter. Like,
yeah. And nothing new will like pop out at you.
Yeah.
If you don't.
I don't read out loud very often. I think I used to. I don't do it really anymore, but I do, like, if I'm reading a passage, I'll just like think about it for a while. Like, I'll just pause and just think and just kind of let it like settle in, kind of thing. Cause I know, like, I do have the desire to read, you know, and just finish whatever I have to read. But I think you have to get to a point where you also just are kind of ruminating on what you're reading. And just thinking about it, meditating upon it, kind of thing. Hey, look up Evelyn Wood. I think that's what it's called, Eli. The Evelyn Wood speed reading course or something.
When you read like even those secular books or even the Bible, do you set out like a certain number of chapters to read, or do you set out a time block to read?
When it comes to like secular books, as of recently, I don't really have those types of goals because a lot of the secular books that I read, I don't really read. I listen to. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
See, I knew it.
What 7-day speed reading and learning program?
Oh, yeah. 7-day. Yeah, you can learn it in 7 days.
To speed read?
Learn how to read. And it sounds like tempting to learn, but it's just not good, in my opinion.
And is this for kids or is this for adults?
This is for kids and adults.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, like, type in like Theodore, what's his name?
Theodore Herzl.
No, not Herzl. Roosevelt.
Reading?
Yeah, speed reading. I think he knew how to speed read. Because a lot of the presidents learned this Evelyn course. Yeah, or just to consume a lot of books a day. Like, they would read like 5 books a day or something like that. Because they're constantly growing.
Back when presidents had to read books and stuff.
Yeah. It does say that, right? Read it to us.
By his own estimate.
Faster.
wait, I didn't hear you. Say it again.
Theodore read tens of thousands of books during his lifetime, including hundreds in foreign languages. Roosevelt accomplished this feat because he knew how to speed read.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're able to, like, the speed was like, if you could read like 1,000 words a minute, you're just...
So it says he would flip through 2 or 3 pages in a minute.
Yeah.
So he was a real life.
Well, do you guys remember The Rain Man?
The movie?
The rapper?
The
like counting the toothpicks on the floor?
That guy? The Rain Man, the movie, was based upon a real person, though. Oh. Look up the name, the real name of The Rain Man. He was a savant. You know what a savant is?
Yeah. Smart guy.
It's not the French fighting style. Is that? Yeah.
I know, yeah.
What is? Huh? Yeah, him right there.
What's he looks like a savant.
Kim Peek. Oh, man. Yeah, anyways, he was a savant. What's the French karate?
Savant.
Oh, savant. That's what it's called. So a savant is like someone who is like superior.
Knows French karate. Really.
I don't know. Look up the. I don't know a lot of stuff. Look up the definition to a savant. It's basically someone who is like.
Just extraordinarily like intelligent.
Intelligent or gifted in a certain area.
A savant and savant.
Then you also have an idiot savant, which is
That sucks.
Which is somebody.
I'm a savant.
That's even smarter than
the smart one. No, the dumb one. I'm exceedingly stupid. Nah, that's a that
look up.
Crappy
look up.
Definition.
Look up. Idiot savant. I'm sure you know a couple of these.
I mean, dang. But anyways, that guy Rain Man was a savant, and so he would actually go to the library and just read hundreds of books every day. And they've actually recorded him. And what?
Well, idiot savant.
What does it say? A person who has a mental or learning disability, but is extremely gifted in a particular way, such as performing a feats of memory or calculus. That's like Loza. Because he's really good at graphics, but he's an idiot.
Usually what is referred to is like autistic people who can like remember Paris from like one like helicopter ride.
Is that what that's referring to?
Yeah.
Oh, so I've known people like that.
Yeah.
There's a guy at our old church and he was autistic, but he knew like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of phone numbers.
Yeah.
And birthdays. There are phone numbers and birthdays, like when so and so, like everyone in the church, and he can just quote it like that. But he's just, you know, but the savant of like the Rain Man, they actually recorded him, and I don't know how he did it, because he died already, I think. But one eye would read down, and the other one eye would read one page, and the other eye would read the other page. And the way you knew that he was actually reading is because he could actually like regurgitate the content.
How can you read two things at once?
I have no idea. I mean, maybe I'm mistaken. Look it up, see if it's true. I'm pretty sure that's.
Is that kind of like the thing where like
chameleons?
What?
So chameleons do, right?
Yeah, I guess so. But like, have you heard of the thing where like the connection between the left brain and the right brain is cut? Then people can like their body can like move and do things without their mind knowing it, essentially. Because
are you talking about telekinesis or
like sleepwalking or something?
Did you check if the cameras are focused?
Like sleepwalking?
No. Wouldn't
that be like a symptom of something like that?
Kind of, but like what?
Okay, so wait, hold on. He could read two pages in about 10 seconds, the right page with his right eye and the left simultaneously with his left eye. He knew phone books by heart and can tell you what day of the week, a particular day. See? So
he's like a walking cell phone basically.
Yeah, this guy has been made obsolete. I have an iPhone.
Yeah. He's no longer needed.
Did you check the cameras? Did you check the camera? So he knew that stuff. And then he was able to recall like information from books that he's read years ago.
It's kind of interesting. I've seen this video recently of this chimpanzee. They display.
He was watching two videos. One with the
rest. No, they displayed for like a split second, consecutive numbers like 1 through 13 or something like randomly placed over the screen, and he only gets to see it for maybe like a split second, and then he can recall the order of the numbers, and it's pretty intense. I mean, I can't even do that.
Are you saying the chimpanzee is more talented?
I zoned out.
That particular chimpanzee.
Dude, I was at the where was I? I was at the LA Zoo.
Damn, this guy's what is Adam? He's not a savant. What is he? He's like, I was at, where am I?
Maybe the second one.
His brain just went Joe Biden on him right now.
I'd be on the pool. You come and touch my leg hairs.
That he remembers by heart. Yeah. That quote.
It's a good one.
What were you saying?
Corn pop. I was at the LA Zoo and there was like some people throwing grapes at the orangutans, and I watched an orangutan grab like a stick and like fish the grape from outside the net using the water like river that runs under it and like bring it towards him and then grab it and eat it. And I was just like, this is amazing.
He's like, I never would have thought of that. He's like, I would have starved.
But like, I didn't know they knew how to use tools. Is this like,
of course.
I just told you the guy can count like up to 13.
I can count to 13. I can't.
I mean,
you can't do what he did.
It's pretty impressive for an orangutan.
It's pretty impressive for an orangutan.
You have like, for example, like killer whales are ridiculously intelligent, or should I say calculated? They're very calculated is what I want to say. But before I forget, savants, I think they're either born, but they can be made as well. And a lot of the savants that are made, like the Rain Man, I think he was born that way. But there's other savants that are made because they suffer like a freak accident. Like they receive like a hit to the head. They get in some sort of accident that causes some sort of brain trauma, and it triggers something in their brain that causes them to be that way. Like there's a guy who was a savant, and maybe I'm thinking of two different people, but there's a guy who was a savant, but he got hit with a baseball bat to the head. And after that, he was able to recall any date in the past and what the weather was on that day.
That's pretty crazy.
And I think there's another guy who received some, I think he got hit with a baseball or something. I don't know. I don't remember exactly what the trauma
baseball
was.
Baseball creates.
But he got hit, and then he was able to look at a city. Like if you were to look at anything for a split second, and then he can draw it with precision and detail exactly the way you see it. So they had him fly over New York in
the
a helicopter.
Black guy?
Yeah. In a helicopter.
Yeah.
Not literally, like, you know, he's in a helicopter. And they just had him they just kind of flew him once over New York City.
Yeah.
Just to kind of look, or downtown New York or whatever. And they had him look at all the skyscrapers once, and then he went and they gave him a huge canvas, and it took him hours, but he basically replicated everything that he saw.
It's like they take a snapshot with their mind or something.
Yeah. Drew it all down.
That's such a trip.
And then there's another savant. I don't remember if this guy was made or if he was just always like this, but he was like a mathematical savant. Why are you laughing?
Because... when you say like a made savant, I keep thinking like to like made gangsters.
He's a made man.
Never have to work.
There was a guy named Tony. He's a made man. Like Joe Pesci was a savant or something.
Sorry.
Oh, here we go. But this guy was made. He's a made savant. I'm just laughing because he's laughing. It's just he just thinks it's that funny. But this guy was, I think he was made. He's like crying. I think he was made a savant.
Dude.
He's like dying. Do you know who I'm talking about? Did you make him a savant?
No.
But he became like this mathematical genius.
What is so funny? I just want to hear the story.
I know. I'm trying to tell the story. I should just look at you, Adam, because he's like crying. He's just crying. So this guy was a mathematical savant. He was made. You guys are killing me.
Get out of here. You get out of here.
So he was a mathematical savant. I'm just trying to tell you, Lisa. I got to tell someone this story. So he was a mathematical savant.
Talk to the viewer.
He literally walked out.
He needs a break.
The guy literally walked out.
He's going home right now.
He was for the billionth time, he was a mathematical savant. And he can solve these. There's a window right here. Do you have to stand in front of the window and like laugh?
That's ridiculous.
He can solve any ridiculous equation that you can place. I think he solved some equation that required 3 hours of answering or something.
And he solved it in how long?
3 hours.
Oh. I thought like
meant you're not a savant.
I thought you meant like
you're on the opposite. You think streams that is. Like it took him 3 hours to answer. So how long did it take?
I thought you meant
3 hours.
It took the average person.
It would take like 3 hours to answer because there's so many numbers.
Yeah,
I might be mistaken. It might have been like 2 hours or an hour. Or
that changes everything.
But he answered with precision. So they give him an equation, and then he's just like,
"This is
45 You know, he's just naming off these numbers or whatever.
What's that movie with Matt Damon where he's like a janitor? At the beginning, and he's like,
"How you like them apples?" That movie?
No, it has Ben Affleck in it as well. It's a really bad movie. But he's like Matt Damon, like is like a janitor in this college, and then after hours, he just goes in the rooms and solves all like the really hard math problems on the board, and everyone's like so impressed with him. And he directed and wrote the movie too, so he was like showing
that
off.
That sounds like I don't remember the name of the movie.
I'm sure the comments.
I know what you're talking about though.
There's a story because you were talking about.
I never seen it, but you know what reminds me of that though, A Beautiful Mind.
I've never seen that.
Oh, that's a true story, right?
Yeah, but
based on a man.
It's based on a true story, but the guy is a reprobate though. They didn't show him as a reprobate. They didn't represent him as a reprobate in the movie.
How was he a reprobate?
He's a sodomite.
Oh really?
Yeah, like he. How does that make him a reprobate?
He can change though.
You know, God can still save him.
Are you saying he can't repent of that?
Yes, Adam, I am. But he in the movie, you know, he was also like a mathematical genius, that guy. I don't know what his name is, but the guy from Beautiful Mind. But he was actually like a sodomite. Like he would go to France for months on end and just be a pervert.
The guy who they made a movie about him recently, too. He like cracked the Nazi code in World War II or whatever. I think it's Alan Turing or Adam Turing or something. He was working for the British and he cracked like the cryptographic code that the Nazis used to communicate with each other. But he was a sodomite. So the British castrated him after he had like cracked the code for them, and then he killed himself.
I had to stop watching
what?
That movie halfway.
Yeah. I didn't.
That's
see
a movie.
I didn't see the movie, but I just know the story.
What is it?
They made a movie out of it.
Alan
I forget
Turing.
The name.
What in the world?
Yeah. They castrated him because he was
a sodomite.
Yeah.
Well, the Beautiful Mind guy, he like was working for the CIA or whatever, but then he became a schizophrenic. Like, the movie portrays him as though, like, he started thinking there's all these conspiracies and he was working for, like, the FBI or CIA or something like that. And he was just losing his mind or whatever. But they never showed any of that, the sodomy. Like, they didn't portray him as a sodomite. At the end of the movie, I think he's just, like, he just lives with the fact that he's going to see these people in his mind for the rest of his life. He's just going to ignore them. But the real story is, like, horrid, though. It's pretty bad. But as I was telling him, the savant, he was able to do these incredible math or solve these incredible mathematical equations that would take like an hour, 2 hours to solve, like to answer, not to solve, to answer, like to say that many numbers mm-hmm. would require like an hour, 2 hours to say. And this guy would do it. And he would explain how that he would see these numbers in his mind as colors.
Oh, not a disease, but it's like a thing some people have where like they relate numbers to colors and sounds like the smells.
If I remember correctly, Pastor Robinson said that he has that.
Yeah, where they associate like their senses get all
like
crosswired.
I think they said like math is yellow or something like that.
Hmm.
No.
You never heard that before? I'm serious. Yeah, you say it's green?
No.
Watch. Type in what color is math and what color is English.
Okay, well, let me ask you question. What color is the number 8?
I see it as like red. I don't know.
I see it as red. I see it as blue. It's like blue, green.
No.
What does it say? In fact, the color blue is associated with math. See? Because it is a cool technical color.
That's stupid.
Ask what color is 8? It's such a stupid
I mean, there's only so many colors if you ask enough people. You know?
Black. Oh, no. Yellow. Did we say yellow? No, we said red. Dang, we're way thinking off. Of we're not savants.
Yeah, we're not. We don't know what we're doing.
We're definitely not savants.
We're not artists.
That was I'm going to cut that out. I'm just kidding. He's all impressed by him.
I'd like to meet this man.
He's weird, though. But he was...
Wait, was this the sodomite? Or
counting cards?
No, he's the Rain Man guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That guy is the... Because he read the Bible, too. So he read the Bible scores of times. But the guy never got saved. And, you know, knowledge puffeth up. So he had all this knowledge. And there's, like, interviews with him and, you know, people who are interviewing him. And he's just like... He's, like, telling the interview, one day you'll be as great as me. You know, just, like, very
the
prideful.
Rain Man guy?
Yeah. Because knowledge
puffeth
up.
Has he seen himself in the movie? He's a freaking idiot.
He died already. Ike.
Oh, he never lived to see himself as Dustin Hoffman or whatever?
Oh, no, I think he did. Yeah, but he was very proud. But obviously, you know, the Bible teaches
He looks
that.
Like he's related to Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, that's just...
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's just how they all look, huh? When they get like that?
Super smart.
They just become, like, very arrogant and prideful, you know?
Was he a Mormon? Up. Can you look that up?
What do you say
Why
that?
Would he be a Mormon?
Because I just saw something on Google that said, like, Mormon Wiki Kevin Peake. Yeah, he was.
He was?
Oh, he was stupid.
Peake was a member of the Church of the Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
As much information as he retained, he was a complete idiot.
Because that's why they call him idiot savant.
Yeah, Rain Man has been a missionary his whole life. It says Deseret News.
Missionary to what, bro?
So he's a reprobate too, then.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt. He's ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Because he would literally spend like his entire day just at the library reading hundreds and hundreds of books.
The one thing that's amazing is that the human mind has the capacity to retain all that information.
What'd you eat yesterday?
Like God gave us that kind of brain, you know?
Or even the guy you were talking about who, after getting hit in the head, he could recall the weather. From years back.
That means your brain captured that information. It has that information. It's just recalling
it.
Such
a trip.
Yeah.
I always heard that like our brain makes space for like gets rid of memories to fill in with other memories. But like then you have stories like that where people just get hit in the head and suddenly they remember like when they were 5 years old.
I've actually heard that too. That it's like basically the way your mind works, the way your brain works is that I think I got it from the Atomic Habits actually. The book.
I've only heard that on like TV shows.
But I think that shows us like that we don't really understand the brain at all. We don't really understand like neural. It's such a amazing thing. Because
like science is like ever evolving.
Yeah. Well, too, like when you memorize something or when you're learning things, you're creating new pathways. Like, and so there's pathways that are in your brain that have existed since, I mean, for decades. You know what I mean? Depending on obviously on how long you've lived, but it's like
see when I tell you that I can remember.
Oh yeah, maybe you do remember those things.
Yeah, I do.
Oh,
what is it? Maybe he changed his own diapers or whatever. What was it?
Diapers? Who wore diapers, bro?
Changed his own diapers.
Is that what you meant by savant?
That's jacked up, but it's funny. He's a savant because he remembers and changes his own diapers.
You know how you're talking about whether or not he was made, like that guy, whether or not he was made a savant or he was like born a savant?
Yeah.
That reminded me of a dude, I think in like the 80s or the 70s, he was from Hungary. His name was Laszlo Plogar or Pulgar or something. And he was like a really bad chess player, but he was a chess player. But he believed that basically it was like 100%. He believed that if he had kids, it was 100% nurture and not nature. And what he meant by that is like, I could train these kids if I make them just be good chess players since the day they're born, then they're going to rise and become the best chess players ever. So he did this. So he found someone to have kids with and he had, because it was part of like the experiment.
He's like, I have a project that I'm working on.
That's actually part of the story. He was going around telling women, I have this project I want to work on. It's like an experiment to see if I can raise kids, see whether or not it's nature or nurture.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then he found someone who agreed. And so he had one daughter and he started, since she was like able to talk or read or something, he started like training her in chess. Now he was not a good chess player, but he made like chess her main focus for her whole life. And then she ended up like one of the top 10 female chess players. And then he did that two more times. So he had a second daughter and he did the same thing. And he made her like chess from a young age and implanted this in her and all those things. And she became another top 10 chess player. Then he had the third one. He did the same thing. And she was like, I think, the best female chess player of that time, number one. And he was like not a good chess player. He was mediocre. He never like.
He was just trying to. He had kids to prove a point.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah, he did it three times.
He did it three times. So that goes to show like, you know.
You can learn these things.
You can learn these things. It's not so more of like so much of. Oh, you know, I was born this way, so I was born disadvantaged, or I was born like I'm not as smart, so, like my parents aren't smart. But this guy wasn't like a genius or anything, but he created three geniuses,
yeah,
essentially. So
yeah, that's true. I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. I think obviously like everyone is gifted in a certain way. You know, everyone has talents and gifts.
Yeah.
But I think success is determined not necessarily in how talented you are. Or how gifted you are, but rather how much work you put into your craft.
Right.
Right? Like the Bible emphasizes diligence more than talent. Like God expects us to use and steward our talents, but it's far heavier on the diligence and the work ethic. Like in all labor, there's profit. Because of the fact that, you know, the vast majority of the population are not savants, they're not the most talented or whatever, so we have to like learn these things, you know,
and that's really important for child rearing, because I don't know if you've heard, like, conservatives say this, be like, oh, I can't have children in this environment, it's so wicked, like having them in the city, they'll grow up to be all sorts of things. But like the Bible says, like, train up a child in the way he should go,
and
when he is old he should not depart from it, right? So it's like, this proves it. This obviously we don't need proof for it, but like, this dude raised three geniuses. He didn't have to be a genius himself.
Yeah.
The same thing. You don't have to be.
It's like if you're willing to put in the work to raise your children.
You don't have to be the best Christian ever, but you can raise Christians who are better Christians than you are, basically.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
So all these people scared, like, oh, I can't have daughters and this. Like, I hear that all the time.
Or it's like, I can't have kids because, you know, how can we bring a kid into this type world, of world or whatever?
Yeah, it's so wicked. Like, yeah. Or they're going to grow up so wicked. It's like, well, they'll only do that if you don't teach them. If you don't discipline them, if you spare the rod.
Yeah, for sure. So. Yeah, that's good. That gives us hope, does it not? It gives us hope that we don't have to worry if we're not gifted or talented or whatever.
Yeah, it's like the arrows thing you said too.
Yeah, they could go further than us.
Yeah,
absolutely. Are you on carnivore right now?
I'm on ketovore right now.
Ketovore.
I can't do carnivore right now. My stomach acids.
Can't hack it or what?
No, not yet.
Enough stomach acid?
I mean, like...
Nope.
You can't just eat meat?
I can, but I can't process it. I can't digest it.
What are you? Like
a babe in Christ.
What are you talking
about? I'm a babe.
Why do you say that?
I can't digest the meat at the word.
Are you like a cow or something or what?
A cat?
No, a cow.
A cow?
Why do you say herbivore? You can't digest it?
Because I ate meat the first week I did carnivore. I woke up with like a huge headache.
I think that's normal though.
Yeah.
No, because I've had indigestion before, and it's the same symptom.
When you first get on keto, like,
you go through keto flu.
Yeah, your electrolytes.
It's not the keto flu.
Your electrolytes.
You don't think so?
No, it's not. It's literally indigestion. I can't digest the food.
Don't you, like, eat a lot of steak, though?
I don't believe that, because, like, steak is, like, the easiest thing to digest. Meat is the easiest thing to digest. It's like,
I don't know.
You don't have to break it down into...
It's true.
Like, with, like, or, like... Like kale and lettuce, you have to like break down to stuff your body can use in your small intestine. But like, you don't have to ferment meat in your gut. You know, you're not a cow.
Maybe it's just because your digestive system is a little messed up.
It is, because it used to be even worse.
Maybe you just need like more fermented stuff, like kefir and...
Do you drink kefir?
No, I can't do that on carnivore though.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
Where do you think kefir comes
kefir,
from?
No, kefir,
I don't know, but it has carbs. Doesn't it?
Kefir is...
Carnivore is not...
Carnivore is not necessarily like low carb.
Zero carb.
Although you can do
exactly
low carb.
What it is.
So, you know, milk has carbs in it. Milk is an animal product. It's no different. It's basically just like steak in liquid form.
Go to WebMD. Hold on.
Why would you go to WebMD?
I'm going to go to Google. Can you have...
Okay, well, here. Let me...
Carnivore is all animal-based products.
Let me make something clear. Don't subscribe yourself to a dogma saying like, oh, carnivore is only beef and water, right? Don't subscribe yourself to that. Subscribe yourself to something that makes sense.
Avoid high lactose dairy products.
Why though?
Because it's Google.
No,
I don't know.
You should drink a cup of kefir a day.
Kefir is like one of those.
Kefir is really good for your digestive system.
It's a superfood.
I mean, like, I drink kefir, but I don't drink it, like, I don't chug it down. I'm sure there's people who do. I drink it at night.
It's like a supplement.
I don't know why. I don't know the whys to many things.
Okay, well, let me tell you the why you
okay,
should
Dr.
drink
Adam.
It. You should drink
tell
it.
Tell me.
I will. So carnivore, I mean, the idea of it is to heal inflammation. And yes. Another one is to lose weight.
And fix dairy is inflammatory.
To fix a metabolic distress you have. So when you say things like dairy is inflammatory, what you're saying.
Cody told me that.
Why are you asking Cody? No offense, Cody.
Why am I asking anyone?
So,
but Cody, because Cody doesn't do carnivore.
He doesn't, but
he's done, I think he's done keto before.
But he did it wrong, though. Because most people who say they do keto, they do it for like a month and then they say it doesn't work for them, but they're not even doing it right.
So what causes inflammation is things like anti-nutrients and oxalates. And what inflammation is literally like things in your body being inflamed. So when you say like dairy causes inflammation, it has to be something within that dairy that's causing inflammation. But the only thing that it could potentially cause it is like either whey, which is like just milk protein, either lactose, which is just sugar, right? Or casein, which is another type of protein. None of those things on their own. There's other things in milk, but none of those things on their own can cause inflammation or should cause inflammation. Like milk is one of the lowest. Thank you. One of the lowest inflammation beverages you can drink. Like even lower than coffee, because coffee is like acidic. It has tannins in it that can cause inflammation and leaky gut. And I'm sure you were drinking coffee on carnivore, right? So, I mean, if you're avoiding the milk for inflammation, then you have to cut out coffee then too. It's even worse.
I do drink coffee.
Yeah.
But wouldn't the idea be to cut out a lot of things and strictly meat and then
you're cutting out like vegetables.
Yeah, because then you slowly want to reintroduce some things back.
Well,
into
I
diet.
Think you cut out vegetables because of the fact that vegetables aren't necessarily, you know, you can't necessarily get the nutrients from vegetables the way as quickly as you would get it from eating meat. Like your body's made to take the nutrients from meat naturally, just like absorb it. Mm-hmm. Like when you, like for example, when you eat like egg yolks, you can metabolize those like that.
It's very bioavailable.
Bioavailable. Like as soon as you eat it, it just like goes straight to your muscles. Yeah. It goes straight to your body. Whereas like vegetables doesn't do that. You would need like enzymes to help you break down those vegetables in order to break that down to get the nutrients from.
Another thing with vegetables is they actually help you. They actually cause the body to block nutrients from other foods. So like a classic example is if you eat oysters, it has a lot of zinc in it. But then if you eat like corn tortillas with oysters, there's anti-nutrients in that block like 80% of the zinc you would absorb from the oysters.
So and I think.
So there's nothing like that with milk. Like milk is like a natural product. It comes from an animal. It's basically just like.
You probably need to wean yourself onto milk is what it is.
I'm trying to wean myself off of everything for now to kind of reset my system. Because I didn't just dive into carnivore, right?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like you should wean yourself onto milk. Like my kids had to get weaned onto raw milk because their bodies weren't used to it.
But you already drink milk. You already drank milk before.
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
Shouldn't I start restricting more things and go
like what? What do you mean like restricting what though?
Well, all types of greens, even coffee. I'm not against that.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you have to cut out
because
coffee,
I want to diagnose and pinpoint what the problem is. For example, that's causing
inflammation. I honestly believe that carnivore is just very simple and I don't think you have to like do all that.
It's just
eating anything from an animal. Yeah. And even then, it's like you don't have to get all crazy about it and just choose a variety of different animal products, just the basics.
Mm-hmm. But it's really difficult because somebody says one thing and then somebody else says another thing.
But you do have to go with people who have experience of it, though, like and has actually done it.
Vitor did it for 2 years. And then that's basically what he recommended.
And he felt incredible, too.
Yeah. There's this doctor on YouTube, Dr. Barry. No, Dr. Barry.
Oh, okay, I don't know who that is.
And he's kind of like really pushing carnivore and keto and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, he said to avoid.
Did he say why? Why avoid milk?
Yeah. I don't remember.
See, so like if you're going to do something, you have to have like a good reason to do it. If you're going to say I'm going to cut out all milk, then like why though? Why are you going to cut out all milk? Like there's some people I can understand. Maybe they just can't drink milk because they're from like a area in the world that can't digest milk. Like a lot of Africans and a lot of Asians have hard trouble drinking milk, so it's bad for them. But like if you have no trouble with it, then...
But even then, it's like if you have trouble with it, just wean yourself
onto
it.
Well, I don't know if I have trouble with it, then which is why I think I need to cut out most everything except for meat.
I think what you need to do...
And then reintroduce
carnivore
it.
Carnivore is simple, where it's just like, just stay away from the vegetables and consume animal products. That's it. And, you know, kefir, for example, is really just really good for your digestive system. And it helps you sleep really good, too. Like if you drink a little bit of kefir, a cup of kefir right before sleep, you sleep like a baby. It's really good for your gut. Because a lot of health issues are gut issues.
Yeah, most.
And part of that is, like, modern day, we have refrigerators now. And that makes it so no we don't way. Have to ferment our foods. It sounds stupid, but, we don't have to ferment our foods anymore. So, like, for literally thousands of years before, people to preserve food so they could eat later on, like dairy or vegetables and stuff like that, they had to ferment them. And that was good for your gut, because when you ferment stuff, it has extra bacteria that helps you crave good things and helps you digest good things and stuff like that. So, but with the like advent of the refrigerator, we kind of move past that. Like, oh, well, why would I need to drink this rotten milk? Like, I can just have fresh milk from the cow.
What do you think I mean, when you said you have to restrict yourself, what are you restricting yourself from? Exactly.
I'm trying to. Well, like I said, I started off strict carnivore and I had indigestion. And I don't like the feeling of that because it gives me a really bad headache. And unless I literally like.
What is it's like heartburn?
No.
What do you mean by that?
It's where my body kind of repels what I just ate.
So you like throw up?
Yes.
Maybe you just have a lot of gut issues.
Yeah, I think it started when I took antibiotics, but I took no probiotics alongside it. And it
when was that?
Destroyed a couple of years ago, 1 or 2 years ago. And it
antibiotics, it does that because it just kills everything.
Yeah, I think it just destroyed like my biome and I got to rebuild.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
So then you should eat fermented stuff if you want to rebuild it, not just...
Well, research fermented stuff, so you know where you're getting into, obviously.
Yeah, fermented stuff, sure. It has good bacteria. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
Are you on carnivore, or what are you doing?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm getting into OMAD. I was talking about this a little earlier. I'm trying to do OMAD most days, and then I try to go on, like, long stints of fasting. So, like, last week I did, like a 62-hour fast. But then I got sick at the end of it, so I quit.
Sick? Like how sick? What do you mean?
I just had a
headache?
Sinus. It was when everybody got sick at church, like all the kids and stuff. Just got like cold or whatever. But yeah. Yeah, it's been going pretty good. I like fasting a lot more than like just restricting everything down because I still like potatoes and I still like rice and stuff like that. But
yeah, I'm doing keto right now, but it's mostly carnivore. Because I'm just mostly eating, like, animal products. My wife will throw in some vegetables, but I just don't touch them. I don't really like vegetables.
Yeah. We've moved on from vegetables.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'll give it a couple
months. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I've moved on from vegetables. I've never liked vegetables, actually. I mean, other than, like, asparagus or something wrapped in bacon.
I like vegetables.
You have to wrap it in bacon for it to be good.
Yeah. Like, I like that, you know, but I'm just not a really big fan of vegetables, period. And I just feel a lot better when I just eat meat, you know, like liver and beef. I do eat chicken. I eat a lot of eggs.
Are you careful with what you buy? Do you read the ingredients?
I don't buy anything. My wife does all the shopping.
Is she careful?
Yeah. I mean, she's the one who does all that research.
Like, trying to make sure we have the best.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not as crazy as some people are. And I'm not saying they're crazy. I'm just saying, like, I'm not as careful as some people are. Some people are really careful. It's just like, you know.
This has XYZ in it.
I can't touch it or whatever. Yeah. I'm a little more loose when it comes to that. I don't really care about that. But I am big on, like, OMAD, although I'm not doing OMAD right now. And the only reason I'm... What's that?
It's one meal a day for people who don't know.
For people who don't know, OMAD is one meal a day. It's really good for you because of the fact that it just helps you repair your body, put your body in a state of autophagy, where your body begins to repair itself.
I thought it was autophagy.
That's what I used to call it.
That's why he looked at me. But he could care less.
So. Yeah, I could care less. I still say that.
Is but, it careless or couldn't care less?
I heard it's both.
No, it can't be both.
I heard it's both.
Hey, how can it be?
They're opposite one to another.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Both are bad. I mean,
if you because it's saying less, like I could care less.
That means you care a little bit.
Yeah, but it also means you don't care as much though, and yeah. it could be like you care a little less.
Now you're giving me reason to care even less. Like I the more care. You talk,
or it's yeah, just like if you think I care less right now, I could care less. Yes.
But that's
what I'm saying.
But I couldn't care less is like rock bottom already.
But that's saying something different than I couldn't care less because I couldn't care less is like I don't care at all. But like I could care less is like you're making me care less is basically.
Yeah, the more you talk, the less I care.
So I guess they mean different things, but
they're both bad.
Vein.
But OMAD is really good because it you know, just repairs your body.
Autophagy.
Autophagy. Yeah. It just helps you, especially with inflammation for sure. But the reason I haven't, I eat two meals a day. I don't eat breakfast. I always skip breakfast. I never.
What time do you eat lunch? Do you wait until like 12 or 1?
Sometimes 11. Most of the time 12. And then I'll eat dinner about 5:30. And I try not to eat thereafter unless it's like after church on Sunday night or Thursday night just because I'm super hungry.
In the Bible when it says like, is it woe unto the princes who
yeah.
in the morning? Mm-hmm. What do you think that means? Is it like
well it says for what does it say? For pleasure and not for strength? Look it up, Ulysses. This is your job, brother.
Look it up.
Oh, I gotta read this real quick.
Is it basically just saying don't be gluttonous and like a symptom of gluttony is eating in the morning?
I think it's just saying that if a person eats in the morning for pleasure. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, though, because I don't want to misquote it.
It's Ecclesiastes.
I think eating for pleasure, period, is
it doesn't say
like
it doesn't,
sinful.
Yeah,
what does it say?
It says, woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child and thy princes eat in the morning. And then, blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is a son of nobles and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness.
Yeah, drunkenness is basically pleasure. Yeah. So I think what it's just referring to is just like when someone just eats just to eat. But they're not necessarily doing it for sustenance,
but
like
that's not
for work or whatever.
That's not sinful, is it? Just to eat just for pleasure?
No, I think it only becomes sinful because the Bible says that he fills our mouth with good things. He loads us daily with benefits. He gives us all things richly to enjoy. Because
right.
then at that point, you would have to say that when you're hungry and you're enjoying it, then that would also be sinful. But God gave us taste buds to taste the food because he wants us to enjoy what we're eating. I think it's just a matter of the fact that if someone only is only eating for pleasure and they're not doing it for like strength and to get in the protein to be able to function, do their job, they're just consuming calories just to kind of sit there and do nothing, then it's wrong, which is exactly what princes do. You know, they just kind of eat for pleasure and they're not doing it for benefits.
To go to war or something, they just kind of like live the lax life.
But OMAD is really good, and if anybody does OMAD, I just recommend for them to skip breakfast, eat a good lunch, and then skip the rest of the day or whatever. And it's not like you eat a small meal at lunch or the one time you eat. You
eat
a good amount.
You eat till you're full.
Yeah, you eat till you're full.
Yeah.
I'm just not doing it because of the fact that I'm still like lifting, and I.
It's hard to get all your protein in one meal.
It is, for sure. And then, too, like, I have body fat on me, which is working to my advantage when I lift because mass moves mass. And so I know that the more weight that I lose, because I am trying to lose weight, I'm trying to cut a little bit since I can't deadlift, eventually my squat's going to go down as well. Like, the numbers are going to go down. But I probably should just bite the bullet and just do it and then just hit the restart in January with the squats and deadlifts. Because now I can close my fist because I had an injury from July. I know this is not that amazing, but to me, it's like this, I can do this. I wasn't able to do this, and I can do this. And it's extremely painful to do this right now. Like, it hurts to do this, but at least I can do it.
Right.
Before, I could only, like, do this. But I'm still not up to par to deadlift because the weight has to rest on your fingers and any pressure on that finger.
It's a fracture, right?
I think it wasn't a fracture. It was, like, a ligament. Like a tearing of the ligament or something.
Okay.
Yeah. So every day I have to kind of like, oh, by the way, Maury said you have some sort of finger exercising mechanism.
I do.
Can I use that? Because I heard it strengthens the ligament.
Sure.
And I'm like, why didn't Hike tell me about this device in times past? But yeah, OMAD's good. I love the way I felt when I was doing OMAD, though.
You also enjoy
food.
The food a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're not like ravenously hungry like during your one meal a day, but when you sit down, you can like really, really enjoy it. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah, and then like when you do OMAD, when you have butter, mm-hmm. it's almost sweet.
Yeah.
Like it tastes really good.
Everything tastes like turned up a notch, basically.
Yeah.
It's very fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
I feel good doing the diet I'm on now.
Yeah.
I feel great.
And you're lifting. Well, I mean, you were lifting, but you want to get back into lifting.
I do. I want to get stronger.
Yeah. I can't wait to get back into deadlifting. I didn't get to reach my goal this year, but oh well. This thing took me out for like 4 months. 4 months. I'll never play basketball ever again.
Not with Gio, anyway.
Yeah, not with Gio. Yeah, Gio.
Yeah. Forget basketball in Belize, Gio.
Yeah. Don't stay away from me. That giant, he like hurt me, man. Gio and I were, Fourth of July, we were playing basketball and we crashed or something. I don't remember what we did. And then everyone was like, oh, your finger's fine. It's fine. You know, it's not discolored. Everyone was saying it.
Called them out too.
And I'm like, it hurts a lot. And they're just like, oh, no, it's good. You're good. It's not like.
You're the pastor.
It's not like, you know, oh, let me look at it. Oh, yeah, you're good. You're good. Here I am 4 months later.
It's like the young counselors.
Yeah. Wow. It was bad.
Make your burden heavier.
But keto, I will say this, like for a while, I was stuck here and I couldn't go past this. Like my finger couldn't move past this. It was so tight and painful just to have it here. And then when I got on keto, like immediately, like, I don't know, the inflammation went down and then I was able to like move my finger and it wouldn't hurt. And then I could actually close my fist like this and it wouldn't hurt. Hmm. So obviously the inflammation went down, you know?
Yeah, it helps.
Take it easy anyway. With injuries.
But for sure this time around I want to stay in the 200s. Before I was just like I want to go down to like 180, 195, but I'm not about that.
It all really depends on
I'm not about that life anymore. I think I want to be in the 200s now.
200s.
The 200. 200. So
cameras. Check the
cameras. Ketogenic diet, carnivore diet, OMAD. It's all good. Do it. Stay away from vegetables. I know Pastor Anderson is for vegetables. I get it. But I don't get it.
Does Pastor Anderson have a reason?
I think he thinks they're healthy. You know, he just adheres to that philosophy.
You know, it's something interesting in the Bible.
But I will say this, it takes more character to eat liver than your vegetables.
Raw liver.
Raw. Well, I don't do raw.
Yeah, I know.
But it takes way more character to eat liver and onions than it does vegetables. And it's far more beneficial, too. What were we going to say?
In the Bible, there isn't, other than like garlic and onions, which is not really like a vegetable at the end of the day, but there's no vegetables named by name in the Bible. And people will tell you, like, oh, cucumbers. Well, cucumbers are actually a fruit, they're a melon. So there's no vegetables named by name in the Bible, they're only just called herbs. So, but you see people eating all sorts of other things. They eat all sorts of fruit. They eat all sorts of meat. They eat all sorts of like bread, obviously, is like sourdough. But there's no vegetables named that people eat in the Bible.
Yeah. And then the one time where Daniel asked for pulse instead of the king's meat and his face was fuller and fatter, that's actually a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a miracle that was performed. It wasn't because the fruits or whatever and, you know, did him well.
Soy. Did him well.
It was just a miracle that he was able to be
sustained.
Opposite
of what should have happened.
Yeah.
Happened. It was essentially God showing himself strong on his behalf. Because it wouldn't have done anything if, like, you compare someone who eats meat to someone who eats pulse for 2 weeks or whatever, and you will see that a person who eats meat is actually fuller and fatter mm-hmm. and more healthier looking.
Mm-hmm.
Because vegans and vegetarians are just not like that.
They waste away.
So it's a miracle that he was actually able to be fuller and fatter in spite of the pulse.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, veganism is only, and vegetarianism, I guess, is only a diet that's you're able to do in like the modern world, because you have like all these vegetables shipped from around the world year wide, like all this stuff. But like, you would not be able to do a vegan diet like 2000 years ago.
Yeah.
You have seasons and like the crops die and they grow, and you have to rely on milk and meat.
Or even 100 years ago.
Yeah, even 100 years ago.
Most civilizations, their diets all around the world, most of them, if not all of them, were never vegetarian or vegan. Mm-hmm. They had some of them were carnivore, some of them were like, some of them had carbs like bread, but
rice.
And the vast majority of them consumed a lot of fat.
Mm-hmm. That was like the main vegetables element. You need land, right? You need like wide open spaces. You need to grow.
I think you do.
And who would grow vegetables rather than like keep livestock?
Right.
Cain, right?
Yeah.
Only Cain would do something.
Only Canaanite.
Yeah. You know, there's, and people often say, well, you need vegetables for the fiber, but that's like a myth though. There's so many myths when it comes to vegetables, dude. It's like crazy.
There's so many myths when it comes to like diet, period. I remember when I was in elementary school, the food pyramid, they had like grains at the bottom, like you should eat most grains. Like, mm-hmm. dude,
grains
like,
are bad for you.
You have to have nine servings of pasta.
Well, a lot of people say that like carnivore and keto are they're like fad diets, but they're not fad. That's like saying like dispensationalism. Or that's like saying like dispensationalism has always been around or something. Like dispensationalism is the new doctrine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like grains and consuming vegetables, that's like the new doctrine.
Yeah.
Because when you study history, the vast majority of people consumed animal-based products. Yeah. That was like a big thing.
They would only go to vegetables in times of like starvation.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I have to eat this root. I have to eat this leaf because people are dropping dead around me, basically.
And they would major on fats because you need fats. Like societies need fats.
Yeah.
You know, women need fats in order, especially when they're pregnant.
Yeah, there's just like a lot of myths around diet and science. And
I think the biggest one is just you need your vegetables. It's been pushed a lot, and it's just not true. Or that soy.
It's probably just like pushing people away from meat.
Well, that's
probably been a conspiracy for the longest time.
They want people to be weak, I think, is the biggest thing.
Yeah. I'm just thankful because as a kid, you know what I mean? Like, what kid likes vegetables, you know?
I grew up on Armenian barbecue.
It's good.
It's all meat.
And then there's the whole bread argument, but that's not a good argument, though.
What bread argument?
Well, because they say, like, the Bible talks about bread. But then it's just like, it's not the same bread.
Yeah. The same wheat.
It was all fermented, the bread. They didn't have instant dry yeast that you could buy at the store or something like that.
That, like, pumpernickel bread?
No. That's not what I'm talking about. But yeah, pumpernickel bread, actually. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Everything good?
Weird stuff, dude. Being a pastor is just different sometimes, you know. Just dealing with stuff all the time. This stuff never stops, man.
As you know, it's 8:21 p.m.
Wow. You work around the clock.
I do. So, speaking of that, cussing.
It just makes me want to.
So people are really, like, upset and you know, because of the fact that, like, one of our pastor friends dropped the F-bomb a while back or whatever, and Pastor Shelley.
What?
And we all preached about it. We all talked about, like, our differing opinions on it. And haters of the new IFB and those who hate the new IFB but are in the new IFB but don't publicly say they hate the new IFB, they like to take situations like that and capitalize upon them to try to like cause division and all that. And you know, years ago I preached a sermon called Cussing in Light of the Bible, where I condemned like the F word and using cuss words or whatever. And so people started like reposting that because they hate Pastor Shelley or whatever. And they're like, oh, look, you know, he's saying this and saying, and Pastor Shelley's saying this. And they're just kind of throwing it in my face or whatever. Like, do you still believe this or whatever, you know? And here's the thing is, like, any mature Christian, by the way, anybody who, like, was our friend or is a friend of ours, our church and their church, they're just like, well, you know, you probably changed opinions on it or whatever. But the people who obviously hate the new IFB,
got to find something.
They're just like, oh, man, this is gold.
Pull up the logs.
Yeah, exactly.
Pull out the comb.
I have changed my view on it. And they could probably make this out as a clip if they want to. But luckily, you know, the subject of cussing isn't about salvation. It's not like a deep doctrine. It's not like an essential doctrine, right?
It's a personal opinion.
It's a preference. And I still hold to a lot of the views that I had when I preached that sermon. You know, I definitely don't think that people should just be dropping F-bombs sporadically, just in everyday conversation. It's obviously words that have impact that people typically use when something crazy happens or whatever it may be. And so I don't think it should be a part of your everyday vocabulary. And I think I'm pretty sure I said that in that sermon. I was talking about that. And another thing is the fact that, you know, cuss words are subjective. And it's true. And that, you know, and I've changed my opinion on that because it is true. It is subjective. And one of the reasons I changed my opinion on that is because of the fact that different languages have different words that would be considered cuss words in one language.
Correct.
And not a cuss word in a different, or even within the same language, it could be a cuss word in one region where it's not a cuss word in another. So it's like, who's the one who holds the standard to say that is a cuss word? And people say, well, the Bible says let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Yeah, but like you could apply that to pretty much anything.
Yeah, and the Bible says so many things that they're even guilty of.
Of course.
So why are you trying to like...
But not only that, but it's just like nowhere in the Bible does it say like the F word is a cuss word, right? People can say, well, that is a cuss word.
Yeah.
And so this would apply to that. But, you know, there's other languages out there that will use a specific cuss word that is normalized in their society that, you know, we would consider a cuss word, but they don't. It would be offensive to Americans, but not offensive to that particular people. And we couldn't convince them otherwise because it is subjective.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think the biggest thing is appropriateness.
Yeah.
Is learning when and where to say certain things and when is it appropriate to say something or not. And so people have tried to rub that in my face. Like, do you still believe this? And you're condemning Pastor Shelley and all that. All these little girls just kind of just whining about my sermon or whatever, thinking that I'm just going to be like, oh man, I'm sorry or whatever. I've changed my view on that long before Pastor Shelley preached that.
So I want to know what you think of this.
Tell me.
In Malachi, when he says, behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. Whenever I read that, or when Paul says, I count it all but dung or whatever, whenever I read that, obviously dung is not a bad word for us today, but it means, you know, excrement, yeah. Right? So when I think Malachi was saying that to them, or when Paul talks about it, I don't think he was saying like poo-poo of your solemn feasts or crap of your solemn feasts. I think he was saying that because it had impact. It was an impactful word.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So obviously the meaning of dung has changed, but I think it was probably pretty vulgar for him to be saying like dung on your faces.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he was saying it in like a childish way. You know what I mean? So people are like, oh, like, well, were they sinning when they said that? No, they used it appropriately because they were, you know,
in its context,
it's a severe topic.
Yeah,
they were like insulting these false prophets. They were rebuking these false prophets. Yeah. Right.
And too, like a lot of these people who are honestly just holier than thou, they use the word faggot all the time.
Right.
And obviously we don't consider that word to be a cuss word. But, you know, there's old IFB people that would consider that to be an improper, unclean cuss word.
I actually know some people who don't even say faggot in front of, like, women or something like that who are in IFB because they think it's inappropriate. And obviously, this stuff is, like, subjective, right?
Yeah, and then the people who say that who are against us would say, well, that's subjective, you know what I mean? We're talking about reprobates. See, they would come up with the reason why it's okay to use that term. They would use it all day long, whereas they couldn't just step into any independent fundamental Baptist church and use that term and not, you know, be spoken to by the pastor and say, hey, that's inappropriate to say.
Right.
Obviously, we wouldn't agree with him, but I'm just saying, like, even those people recognize that that word is subjective. And they're like, well, that's different from, like, the F word. Well, really? Because other people would find that offensive if you were to say that.
Or, like, a perfect example in society, like, white people can't say the N word, but black people use it to refer to each other.
Yeah.
So that's another, like, perfect example of, like, it's straight up subjective. It depends on who you are or what the context is or who.
Yeah, because there's certain people who are black who don't care about that.
Yeah.
They don't care who says it. Other people, they do.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it becomes, and you can find two black people who have differing opinions about that word and they'll never agree on that. Mm-hmm. They'll never come to terms with, you know, they'll agree to disagree or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I preached that sermon years ago, and I think it's because of the fact, I don't remember if it was like there was an issue where someone was just constantly dropping it or something like that. I don't really remember, but I will say that I probably agree with still 60 to 70, maybe even 80% of what I said in that sermon, because a lot of what I said was just being appropriate, you know?
Yeah.
And just to make it clear, like I don't ever want to drop that behind the pulpit. I don't think that's appropriate, but who cares? You know, that's his church. If that's, you know, I would never want to do something like that. And I preach that too. Like, that's not something that I would ever want to do.
Yeah.
I don't want any pastor coming to my church and doing that.
When you get offended on somebody else's behalf, if nobody in the church was offended, like, leave it alone.
And no one in his church was offended.
Nobody batted an eye. Then don't worry about it. Yeah. Mind your own business.
I'm telling you, the reason they make a big deal about it is because they want to find something that they can call out the new IFB on.
Really?
Because they're constantly
just hate the new IFB.
Yeah, they're Pharisees who are looking to catch people in their words. Yeah. That's just all it is. And so, you know, they're just like constantly reposting it and constantly putting clips out there. I don't bat an eye at it because I don't really care, because these people don't even really matter. You know what I mean? And some of these people are some of the biggest hypocrites anyways. They're some of the biggest hypocrites.
Yeah.
One of them just recently got kicked out of church, not our church, someone else's church. And this is the same guy who was criticizing Pastor Shelley. And he got kicked out of church. And, but he was, I told him, I was like, you're being a holier than thou for criticizing Pastor Shelley. He was like, well, you know what? Then I'd rather be a holier than thou. Like, when is it ever appropriate to ever want to be a holier than thou?
Yeah.
He's like, I'd rather be a holier than thou than not be a righteous person or something. I was just like, what?
Righteous according to you? Like, what are you talking about?
Like, when is that ever cool to say, you know what? I choose to be a holier than thou. Like, dude, you obviously don't know the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, you know, they spam verses. A lot of people will spam verses to try to make a point.
Yeah.
Where they just throw a bunch of verses in there. Look what the Bible says about this. The Bible says plenty about this. But none of it has anything to do with it. You know, they'll say corrupt communication corrupt communication corrupts good manners. Evil communication corrupts good manners. And they're like, that's what it's talking about. But the previous verse says, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he says evil communication corrupts good manners, and he's referring to the fact that not to just speak flippantly of what's going to happen tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, let's just eat and drink because tomorrow we die. You're just being careless. That's going to corrupt your manner of living when you speak like that.
Right.
And when the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer, he begins to talk about put all malice away and evil speaking. And in context, is referring to forgiving one another.
He defines what corrupt communication is.
He does. And then, you know, it's in tandem with what the rest of the Bible says, that you don't render evil for evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like if a brother in Christ does evil to you, you don't just reproach that person.
Is a word inherently in and of itself bad? Any word? Because a word is something to describe something, right? So, I don't know.
I mean, there's people.
I personally don't think it's a sin. I know, for example, you know, we have some of the guys at church think it's a sin. I don't agree, but we could agree to disagree.
Yeah, and here's the thing: there's people in our church who think it's a sin, and you know what? That's okay. If they want to think that, that's fine. There's no problem with that, because it's not an essential doctrine. Yeah. These people try to make it like it's an essential.
They strain a gnat and swallow a camel. Yeah. I mean, some of the things that they're guilty of. Like rebuking elders,
like
causing
railing?
Division, railing.
Yeah, these are things that are actually named in the Bible.
And
as
you
being
can get
sinful.
Thrown out of church for it.
I don't see anything in the Bible where you get thrown out of church for saying the F word. Mm-hmm. That pastor ought to step down. Where in the Bible does it say?
Yeah, he said the F word. So I've heard from some people say he said the F word. That makes him disqualified to be a pastor.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It's like people are trying to make it seem as though like he got up behind the pulpit and was just like, F Joe Biden. Like that was his opinion. He's like quoting
in the context of the sermon. Like to me, it was.
I think it was an extreme way to make like an extreme point. And just when the prophets in the Old Testament preached naked, was it sinful to be naked? No, he was making an extreme point by demonstrating it. Like, you know. So
yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I remember when I went to go when I was in Aruba and I was preaching in Spanish, a lot of Venezuelans are there. And my family are from they're from Guatemala. And so I was saying a particular word in Spanish and I just kept saying it and saying it and saying it. And in Guatemalan Spanish, it's just not a cuss word. It's a strong word, but it's not wouldn't be considered a cuss word.
What was it referring to?
Being lazy.
Oh, okay.
I think that was the word. And then someone came up to me and it was just like, that was a great sermon. It's just, you know, that one word, you know, that's a really dirty word. And I'm like, really? Because to us, it's not like to Guatemalans, it's not dirty. I didn't know that. And he's like, oh, yeah, to Venezuelans is like a really bad word.
Hmm.
I'm like, oh, okay. See, even within Spanish cultures, mm-hmm. one would be considered a dirty word and one would, you know, one culture would not. So who would be the right one? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You can't really say. You can't really, you know, and I'm tired of people teaching things from the Bible that are not really there.
Yeah.
As they're violating scriptures that are.
That means yeah. that, so if you're in Guatemala, you can say that word, but then if you say that word while in Venezuela, you're sinning, basically,
yeah,
is what
exactly.
they would say.
Like, exactly.
It's like, so
and
like,
obviously, I didn't know that that's what yeah. they would consider. I've never, you know, preached to a Venezuelan congregation before.
Mm-hmm.
And they no one really batted an eye, and even the person who came to talk to me, they were just kind of like, whatever about it. They didn't really care.
Mm-hmm.
They're just telling me, like, that word in particular for Venezuelans is bad or whatever.
Yeah.
But I didn't know, because in Guatemala, it's not. But, you know, it's just a classic example of someone who, you know, binds heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, but they're not lifting one of the commandments up with their own finger. They violate scriptures. They make the commandments of God void through their traditions.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to establish a tradition that cussing is sinful as they're violating scripture themselves by rebuking an elder, which the Bible clearly says you shouldn't, railing, backbiting, evil speaking of others, you know. And the guy, one of the guys who was doing this guy just recently got kicked out of church, of a fundamental Baptist church. And I can see why. The guy's just a complete idiot. And so there it is, folks. Cut that. Slip, you know, make a short out of that. Pastor Mejia goes back on salvation? No. Goes back on replacement theology? No. Goes back on the Trinity? No. Goes back on, you know, the Bible, the King James Bible? No. It's another issue that doesn't even matter.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't matter. And that people want to make it matter because they want something to be able to point at the new IFB at, you know, because they want the new IFB to have a chink in the armor. They want to find some flaw. They want to find a breach in the armor because they just want to take the new IFB down. But you can't take the new IFB down because the new IFB is not a movement or it's not a denomination. It's a movement of local New Testament churches. So, and they're going to find themselves fighting against God anyways because these are his churches.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, yeah. folks, that's where I stand on it. I don't feel wrong about it at all. Because throughout the years, I'm probably going to change my views on some things, but not anything that's essential.
Right.
I'll probably, you know, learn more and grow more. People act like pastors can't make mistakes or something like that. Like they just can't, like, grow and mature.
It's like they've never read the New Testament of all the people who knew Jesus just making all these mistakes.
Just yeah. rest assured that there's going to be some loser out there who's always going to be like, oh, you change your stance on one thing to another. Okay, great.
Most of these people are not even in church.
I think that's
waste your whole life going over like hours and hours of sermons and find something that pastor.
There's
has.
People out there like that,
yeah.
who will literally listen to all my sermons and just make themselves even
yeah,
more
just
reprobate.
Come to church, bro.
They just don't have full time jobs or something.
People like whereas people in my church they listen to me 3 times a week.
Yeah,
you know, and they come to church, they soul win, they're actually serving God. They're actually serving God. They're actually like preaching the gospel. They're actually like discipling others.
Not being busybodies online.
Not being busybodies online
yeah.
or whatever. And shame on the pastors who support those idiots too.
Yeah.
McMurtry.
Their wives.
Yeah. Shame on them.
Nothing.
I mean, I marked that guy a long time ago for biblical reasons. So, anyways, that was a good episode.
No,
probably not.
Okay.
Yeah, we're 8:38. I think that's good, right?
I bet.
That's pretty
good. I mean, it was like an hour and a half or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good long episode there.
Cut the fat off, you'll have. Yeah.
Well, folks, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Rod of Iron podcast. And we're back. And so I'm going to be trying to upload about every other week or so an episode here. And thanks for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, share it. And you can also listen to the full episodes and watch the full episodes on the website, fwbcla.org. God bless and have a great night.